At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. And let us surprise you.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
There's never been a better time to get outside and experience the benefits of nature. Discover nearby trails and explore the outdoors with AllTrails. Download the free app today and find your outside.
This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. Back by popular demand, we have popular New York State Senator Patrick M. Galvin, former popular sheriff of Erie County. He represents the 59th Senate District, which includes all or parts of Erie, Wyoming, Livingston, and Monroe counties. He was first elected to the Senate in 2010 and overwhelmingly reelected in 2012, 2014, 16, 18, and 20. Elected on a platform of ensuring the public trust and revitalizing the West New York economy, Senator Pat Galvin is focused on fiscal responsibility, economic development, strengthening the state's vital agriculture industry, and properly representing taxpayers, sportsmen, and small businesses. Popular New York State Senator Pat Galvin on the Rusk Report. Let's talk about the Western New York economy. We had a tough haul with COVID for a year and a half. It seems to be inching forward. How can we really get this state economy fully open and blossoming again, Senator Galvin?
I think our first step is we have to remove the shackles of all of these emergency orders and directives that have been placed upon individuals and businesses and communities by the governor. There was legislation a little over a year ago when the COVID first started, providing the governor with some expanded emergency powers. Interesting thing, though, that many people don't know, in that same piece of legislation, there was a built-in check and balance that permitted the legislature, by a simple majority vote, to rescind any of those directives. Of course, any process in the legislature involves voting, and the people that control the agenda to be voted on are the majority. And for well over a year, the majority essentially abdicated their authority as it related to COVID, allowing the governor to make these decisions at will. We fast forward a year, and the majority put forward some legislation that was ostensibly they billed as repealing the governor's powers, but it did not do that, in fact, at all. It just added some different language saying the governor had to jump through a few more hoops, but nonetheless, he could modify any order, and we still see New Yorkers living under those orders. So I think first thing that we have to do is either it comes to its natural end when the governor declares that this emergency is over, which is one way it can happen, or the legislature can exert its constitutional authority and responsibility and tell the governor enough is enough. So I think that has to happen first. And then, of course, we have the age-old problem that we have seen in our lifetime of New York being among the highest taxed and regulated in the state. And we have to continue to chip away at the taxes and the regulations.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about fiscal responsibility. It's sort of astonishing when the state has received billions of dollars of money from Washington, and instead of cutting state taxes to get the small and large businesses up and moving again, we're having, I believe, a $4 billion increase in state spending. How can this Democratic majority in the Senate, Assembly, and Governor justify, when they're getting all these billions from Washington, to raise taxes more in New York State, the most heavily taxed state in America?
Well, I don't think they can justify it. They just go and do it, and that's the illustration of the dangers of one-party rule. Our system is not designed for one party to be in charge, and essentially what you have, without that check and balance of the two parties having leadership positions, I mean, without that check and balance, you see one party run amok, and we're seeing that in New York State. So this year's budget, you're right, it's about $4 billion in new taxes. In addition to that, we received $12 billion from the federal government this year that became part of this year's budget. And so once we come to the end of the fiscal year, we're not going to get another $12 billion from the federal government. So that's got to be made up somehow. It's either got to be made up through cuts in services or cuts in spending, or what's probably more likely, so long as the Democratic majority stays in place with a governor of the same party, they would raise taxes by that additional amount to make up that hole.
Let's talk about the future of Andrew M. Cuomo, governor. His father failed when he was trying to run the last term when Pataki beat him. And now it looks like Cuomo is a candidate for re-election. I believe he's raising hundreds of thousands of dollars during this month with a cocktail party, I think $10,000 a person, $15,000 a couple. So let's talk about Andrew Cuomo. He's under tremendous scrutiny for harassing at least 9 young women sexually. Then he has the nursing home scandal, where instead of using the ship that Trump put into New York and the Javits Center, he forced COVID-positive cases into the nursing homes, killing perhaps 10,000 to 15,000 frail elderly. Let's talk about Andrew Cuomo. Is he going to survive all these investigations that are taking place now? Senator Pat Gallivan.
Well, it's a big question mark. It's really been amazing how things have bounced off of him. I think his time has come, though, in one way or the other. So what we have now, you made reference to some of the problems that he has, but what it's resulted in is an attorney general investigation, a U.S. attorney investigation, and an assembly impeachment investigation, all going on now at the same time, and they will play out, and ultimately we'll have the conclusion of the investigations. Any one of those investigations could signal the end of Andrew Cuomo's career, or if for some reason those investigations don't conclude that he's done what he's accused of, and he moves through into next election cycle, and he chooses to try to run again, I think it's an opportune time to vote for, like you made reference to his father, the anybody but Cuomo. I think his time has come. I think New Yorkers have now demonstrated. You see in over the last several months in the polling data that is out there that while he still gets support from certain segment of New Yorkers, we now know that the majority of New Yorkers do not want him to return for a fourth term. So certainly, I would hope that is the case. I mean, I do think we need to make a change. We have an outstanding Republican candidate that appears to be the front runner in Lee Zeldin. But I think people are sick of what is going on in New York. The pandemic really overshadowed the dangers of one-party rule. The increased taxes, the criminal justice penalties have favored offenders over law-abiding citizens. But I think now in the waning days of this pandemic emergency, so to speak, it's more and more evident we've got problems with our economy, more and more evident crime is on the increase, and more people are tired of it. And the the easiest answer, or I shouldn't say the easiest, but the most significant change we can make in New York to ensure the check and balance is changing the governor. And that's something citizens across the state can do if they only turn out. We have to make sure that upstate voters turn out in the next gubernatorial election.
Very good. We have a very honest, decent, fair leader in the state Senate, Pat Gallivan, state senator representing the 59th Senate District, recommended by Keith Bryan and James Lewicki to be on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520, blanketing 17 states and much of Canada. A little plug here. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Legal. The Ampol Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835 9454. That's 716-835-9454 to have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. I'd like to thank those who called regarding Charlie Joyce, National Republican Committeeman, who's been on this program, along with Lou Knott, the CEO of CalSpan Corporation, and former New York State Chairman Ed Cox. Coming up, we'll have Margareta Javits, whose husband was Ambassador Javits, and she has a new book out on European folklore. So we'll have a program coming up on that. If you're listening in Orchard Park, Toronto, or Washington, D.C., drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We've received letters as far away as Scandinavia, New Zealand at ESPN AM 1520. We'd like to hear from you. A little more information about Senator Pat Gallivan. He played a central role in landmark accomplishments, including enacting a 2% cap on local property taxes, limiting state spending to less than 2% annually, adopting annual on-time budgets. Popular New York State Senator Pat Gallivan. Let's talk a little bit about this. Situations with Cuomo and the nursing homes. I know you've had a couple articles in the different weekly newspapers about the nursing homes that you've been investigating this. Let's go into a little more depth. I still can't understand why these frail elderly with COVID were put back in the nursing homes. It's like lighting a match to gasoline. Could you talk about that, please?
Yeah, many people questioned it if the governor did this, and it put nursing homes in a very difficult spot and families in a difficult spot, and it's just terrible. And then, come to find out, of course, even beyond that, we look at the reporting that was covered up, so we did not have an accurate picture of what was going on. Now, what the governor says now, and they'll still defend the order to send COVID-positive people back to nursing homes, he'll talk about why it was good policy and he was following CDC guidelines, but they've never answered the question, well, if it was good policy, why did you change it? It obviously wasn't good policy. They don't have an answer for that. It is among the most significant problems nursing home face. The prohibition then on visitors was just terrible. And you had these people that needed help, that needed the love of their family, sat there alone for the past year, and it caused many of them for their physical and mental health to deteriorate. We lost way too many of them.
Yeah.
It starts with the bad policies, and then we see what has taken place since. Now, I know the policies have since been relaxed. The legislature could still do more in opening up the nursing homes. We did pass some legislation to allow for a family members or a caretaker to be designated to have full access to nursing homes that employees do. But what's taken place in nursing homes is just terrible over the past year, rather.
Yeah, it's disgraceful. I saw Paula Deen on a statewide forum, and it was just tragic hearing that both of her in-laws, her father-in-law and mother-in-law, died in the nursing homes, and she blames for that readmission of COVID-positive cases that killed her mother-in-law and father-in-law. Just a tragic situation. Have you had her in Albany at hearings, too?
Yes, we actually had her at a Senate hearing, and of course she tells a very compelling story. She's extremely articulate, and to her credit, she remains outspoken as a citizen activist, a citizen who cares about what goes on. It did affect her, but is advocating for change, and it's we see so many examples of that of people across the state and in our community. We need people like her to continue her advocacy and others to stand up and stand up for the things that they believe in and demand that their elected officials properly represent them.
Let's talk about opening up New York State entirely. The numbers are extremely low. There are very few people with COVID in the hospitals now. I think it's 69.5% of the people have gotten the first vaccination in New York State. Florida's been open for 8 months. Why don't we entirely open everything in New York State at this time, Senator Pat Gallivan?
Well, we should. There is no reason whatsoever to have any restrictions remaining. We know that the vaccine is out there and available. As you mentioned, a significant amount of people in the state have the first vaccine. We know that different things can be effective, and we know that we have citizens that respect each other, and in some places, if some people want to continue to wear a mask, they have the ability to do that. I think we've all learned better sanitary habits. The medical profession now knows what COVID is, how to treat it, how to deal with it early. And we don't face any of the dangers that we faced over a year ago. We have no reason that we're not fully opened up, but for the obstinance of the governor and the refusal of the legislative majority to stand up and exert their constitutional authority and responsibility.
For those who just tuned in, we're speaking with popular New York State Senator Patrick M. Gallivan, representing the 59th District, which includes all or portions of Erie, Wyoming, Livingston, and Monroe counties in New York State. If you're listening from Cheektowaga, Montreal, or Northern Florida, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. We always greet cards and letters from our Canadian and European listeners. A little bit more information about Senator Pat Gallivan. He played a central role in landmark accomplishments, including cutting middle-class taxes to their lowest level in 50 years, reducing the manufacturing tax rate to the lowest level since 1917, cutting corporate taxes to the lowest rate since 68. He has also drafted and introduced transformational piece of Medicaid reform legislation to reform the broken and antiquated cost structure of Medicaid. Let's talk about the Canadian border. Again, it doesn't make sense to me if people are fully vaccinated why the Canadians can't come here who are fully vaccinated and New York State residents who are fully vaccinated can't go to Canada. How can we get this going, Senator Pat Gallivan?
It's bizarre to me that this continues to take place and the Canadian border remains closed. Certainly, we know on the New York side from both our state, well, all representatives at the local level, at the state level, and at the federal level are all pushing for the border to be open, and we see that actually going on across the country, but what's going on in Canada is very strange. I don't understand the politics up there, and I don't understand their reluctance to move forward despite the science. We hear so many people talk about the science. Well, we know now. We look. We know how to handle this. We know how to treat this. Vaccines are available. Infection rates are extremely low right now. Other than the internal politics of Canada, that so far all of us have been unsuccessful in trying to penetrate in the sense of trying to broker a deal, so to speak, to get the border back open. What goes on in Canada is it's really, really bizarre. And then when you look at the notion that somebody put forward in Canada to tax properties owned by Western New Yorkers and Americans that are sitting there unused because of their own doing, it's not very neighborly, and it doesn't make for good relations between the two countries. I think it's problematic, though, Brian. I really do. Mm-hmm. You look at all the people from Southern Ontario that work and have business in Western New York, and all of those in Western New York that own property or have business in Canada that have been handicapped by this, people that have relationships, whether it's married, engaged, whatever it may be, the Canadian government is standing in the way of that, and it's seemingly without explanation.
Let's talk about the effort by the liberal New York City assemblymen and senators that want to have the wealthy taxed even more. We've seen Tom Golisano, billionaire, leave New York State. We know of the Jacobs and the Riches in Florida, Carl Icahn, Donald Trump, billionaires, all taking up Florida residence. Isn't this effort to tax the wealthy more proportionately higher rates? Isn't this going to have more wealthy people and their businesses leave the state of New York? Pat Gallivan.
I certainly think so, and other experts think so as well, and it's been evident. We see now we're just coming off, while we don't have the full results, we're just coming off the census that takes place every 10 years. New York will lose another congressional seat. We see people over the past year that were moving from New York to Florida at record rates. People are voting with their feet, so to speak. And as long as we continue to raise taxes, stand in the way of business, and try to take a disproportionate share of money from people, those that have the ability to move and to seek an alternative are doing so, and it's going to continue to be a problem. It's hard to fathom why the people from New York City believe that not to be the case. They continue to talk, the governor continues to talk about how New York City is the greatest city in the world and people want to live in New York. Well, they do want to live in New York, but they're not going to continue to be abused. And they have families to support. They've earned money. Certainly they should pay a fair share, as all of us should be doing, but not a disproportionate share. And we've seen over the years, you look at New York over the past 3-4 decades, and we've continued to lose population, and we've continued to lose congressional seats, which translates to support from Washington, having a say in things that go on, having less clout in Washington. And the root cause of all of it is the high taxes and the high regulatory environment in New York that continues to present problems for businesses and families.
We have about 5 minutes left on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520 with popular New York State Senator Patrick M. Gallivan. Cashless bail. You're a former sheriff. The current sheriff has said he arrested one man 7 times in 7 weeks, and he kept getting appearance tickets for violence, shoplifting. And now I guess the most recent statistic is that the number of shootings have gone up in New York City 68% in 1 year's time. So isn't this a complete failure, this cashless bail?
Well, I think it is. There's no question that we could have reformed our bail system and certain portions of our criminal justice system. And it's funny, reform, a lot of people think reform always connotes positive change. Well, when you're reforming something, you can have it in a positive way or a negative way. So the criminal justice system has been reformed in New York, but certainly in a negative way. It's evidenced by the increase in shootings in New York City, as you just mentioned, as well as increased shootings and violent crime across New York State. It is a problem. There's no question about it. They've made a number of changes to the criminal justice system that favor offenders over law-abiding citizens and the safety of our communities. But when it comes to the bail, the cashless bail, I think the single biggest thing in there, that the single biggest failure, is not permitting judges to judge, to exercise judicial discretion to help ensure the safety of our communities. And until we do that, we are going to see individuals like the one that has been arrested seven times in the last week, individuals like the guy in New York City last year that was arrested repeatedly, and he said to the reporters, how could they let out a somebody out like me? I mean, the guy was arrested for bank robbery, said that.
A bank robber, and he was let out. He was let out. Yeah.
Well, he was arrested for bank robbery, and then he was released on an appearance ticket. Within a week, he committed another robbery, released on an appearance ticket, and he did it again and kept repeating it. And I think he repeated it as much as five or six times until finally the federal authorities charged him federally. And then the federal judges, who have greater discretion, viewed him as a danger to the community and held him without bail, you know, pending adjudication. But when somebody, certainly people are arrested, they are innocent until proven guilty in our society. But when somebody demonstrates repeated behavior that they're a continuing danger to the community, we, the state, the people of the state of New York, which is always against somebody in a criminal case, the government's all of us, but bear a responsibility to help keep our citizens safe.
And another thing,
the cashless bail now and those laws, they fall far short of doing that.
We have 1 minute left. Defunding police, isn't that a stupid idea?
I think there's enough said about that. I mean, I think the way that you just said it, it's a terrible idea. Just an awful idea. We see the talk. We see the disrespect for police. We see these laws that have changed that favor offenders over law-abiding citizens, and it's resulting in less and less safe communities, and we need to reverse that. Unless we reverse it, we'll continue to see crime rise and more people victimized.
I'm sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. We've learned so much about people fleeing New York State, high taxes, and the poor situation that is handled with the COVID problem in New York State with the nursing homes, from popular New York State Senator Pat Gallivan, recommended by Jim Lewicki and Keith Bryan. Special thanks to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the past 15 years. Thank you for enlightening us, Senator Pat Gallivan.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
Only at True North Stores, new True Rewards members. Stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 10 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 20 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 30 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store, download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Odyssey celebrates Memorial Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.